finish this phrase. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Why would fool me once, shame on you be true?
Didn't know any better.
Okay. Didn't expect it. How did the first person get fooled?
Adam.
I was thinking about that this afternoon as I was going over my message, and I thought, I wonder how false religions ever started. I know how the true one started. God spoke. But there are no false gods, only the figments of people's imaginations. There's true religion, but there's no false god to speak, so it had to be a figment of somebody's imagination. So what do they do? And sit around someday, oh, I think I'll create a religion. It just, I don't know, caused my mind. So when they created this thing, they said, I've got to tell somebody. I've got to fool somebody to believe what I'm thinking about. And there you go. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, now I have to bear the consequence of it. Turn in your Bibles this evening to 2 Kings chapter 1. No, we're not there yet. We've got another one with tonight and next time with Elijah. 2 Kings chapter 1. Oh, come on. Last time we were looking at Ahab with his last encounter with Elijah. And Elijah says, your number's up. You're going to die. And guess what happened? He did. He died. Exactly how God had said, where Elijah said, where the dogs licked the blood of Naboth, they're going to lick your blood. He dies in a chariot. He's pulled back to Jezreel in the very place where Naboth died. The dogs come and lick the blood in the chariot. Exactly how God said it would happen. His son takes over as the next king. Oh, by the way, he said, Jezebel's going to die too. Guess what happened? She died. We come to 2 Kings chapter 1. It says this, then Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. And Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. And he sent messengers and said unto them, go inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. Baal-zebub, literally the god of the flies. Probably the flies were the thing that brought the disease rather than cured it. But nonetheless, he sends his messengers to do this. But the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah the Tishbite, arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria, and say unto them, is it not because there is not a God in Israel that you go to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? There was a God in Samaria, in Israel. His name was Jehovah. Oh, but they had all other kinds of gods. But guess how many of those gods ever spoke? None. Can't you see going into one of these temples or high places where there was a statue or a monument to a false deity and standing there and saying, oh, Baal-zebub, will Ahaziah recover from his disease. And that's why the biblical authors call these dumb idols, not because they're stupid, but they couldn't talk. No answer. But there was one God who could give an answer. And we didn't ask him. And the crazy thing about it is, they already proved that the gods of Baal were worthless. Remember Mount Carmel? I mean, that wasn't that long ago. And Ahaziah would have been around and understood what went on. Baal gods didn't work. Jehovah worked. Jezebel, gods do to me what you did out there. If I don't kill you tomorrow, gods didn't do that. Jehovah says you're going to die. She died. Every time God, Jehovah, says something, it comes to pass. Every time the Baal gods say something, supposedly, never happens. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice. Ahaziah should have said, wait a minute, I was fooled one time. Why should I be fooled again? But no. Go ask Baal-zebub whether I'm going to live or not. So God speaks to Elijah, and he says, go meet the messenger. Verse 4, now therefore, thus saith Jehovah, thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt maybe die. Don't call me Shirley. Surely die. And Elijah departed. What do you think is going to happen? Is it possible that he might die? Or do you think it's certain that he's going to die?
Guaranteed.
Because whenever Jehovah spoke, it always came to pass. Verse 5. And when the messengers turned back unto him, he said unto them, why are you now turned back? Guys, this should have taken a little bit longer. How are you back so soon? And they said unto him, there came a man up to meet us and said to us, go turn again unto the king that sent you and say unto him, thus saith Jehovah, not Baal Zebub, but Jehovah. It is not because there is not a God in Israel that thou sendest to inquire of Baal Zebub, the god of Ekron. Therefore, thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. If you would have come to me from the very beginning, there might have been possibility. Because what was it? You would have seen all these things that transpired before with Mount Carmel and your father and your mother and how God was true. And that would have changed your thinking. But fool me twice, shame on you. You had your chance. You blew it. So you're really going to die. And he said unto them, what manner of man was he which came up to meet you and told you these words? And they answered him, he was a hairy man and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins, and he said, it's Elijah, the Tishbite. I knew it. Remember Ahab, what he said about Micaiah? Yet there is one who's a prophet of the Lord, but I hate him. Why? Because he's always prophesying evil. And he told the truth, too. And I think he just passed it down from father to son. Then the king sent unto him a captain of 50 with his 50, and he went up to him, and behold, he sat on the top of a hill. And he spake unto him, Thou man of God, the king hath said, Come down. And Elijah answered and said unto the captain of 50, If I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Now, you might say, isn't that a little harsh? I mean, here's this poor guy. He's sent out by the king. He has to do his job. And he's going to die along with these other 50 for just doing their job. That's cruel. That's inhuman. That's ungodly.
He's
no.
Love, Pastor.
Let me read verse 9 again, or the end of it. And he spake unto him, saying, Thou man of God, the king hath said, mm-hmm. Come down.
His king is great.
You got it. You put the emphasis on the king. You're a man of God. You're a prophet. That's nice. That's fine. But the king, the guy who's in charge here, says, you better get down there.
Let's see about that.
The answer then is, if I be a man of God, isn't God greater than the king?
I think they'd have learned that.
Gulp.
Yeah.
You just cooked your own goose. The judgment was righteous. They died. Verse 11. Again also he sent unto him another captain of 50, with his 50. And he answered and said unto him, O man of God, thus hath the king said, Come down quickly. One thing has changed, the addition of the word quickly. That may indicate that whatever this disease was that Ahaziah had has gotten worse. And he's really on his deathbed. And what is Ahaziah wanting Elijah to do? Heal him? That's exactly it. Something to keep him from dying. Whether it's praying for him, prophesying over him, miraculously healing him. You've got to change the sentence. Wait a minute. God has said, you shall surely die. Can't be changed. O man of God, thus hath the king said. Not only do you have to get here, but you got to get here fast. Well, if it didn't work the first time, do you think it's going to work the second time? And Elijah answered and said unto them, If I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and the 50. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Oops.
That's pretty rough. Man.
I don't want to do that thing.
Yeah. I mean, charcoal over there.
Verse 13.
Barbecue.
And he sent 50. Again.
They were probably nervous.
Are you kidding me? Come on, king. You've got to be kidding. Well, he's desperate. He sent again a captain of the third 50 with his 50, and the third captain of the 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah and besought him and said unto him, O man of God, I pray thee, let my wife and the life of these 50 thy servants be precious in thy sight. Behold, there came fire down from heaven and burn up the two captains of the former 50s with their 50s. Therefore, let my life now be precious in thy sight.
Mm.
What's the difference?
He was humble.
Yeah, nice.
Begging for mercy.
He humbled himself.
That's right.
He recognized Elijah as a man of God. He recognized that the other two suffered righteously. But he said, the God you serve, or he didn't say these in words, but in actions, the God you serve is a gracious God, a merciful God. I'm here because I'm under authority. But I recognize there's a God who's greater than my king. And the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, go down with him, be not afraid of him. And he arose and went down with him unto the king. And he said unto him, thus saith the Lord, Jehovah, for as much as thou hast sent messengers to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, is it not because there is no God in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore thou shalt not come down off that bed which thou art gone up, but thou shalt surely die. You had your opportunity. If you would have recognized, by the way, remember that these kings, as wicked as they are, were Israelites. God made a covenant with Israel. None of these pagan gods ever did that. And Ahaziah says, well, I'd rather go to the pagan god. Well, go to the pagan god. See what he can do for you. And he didn't do anything. Refuse me? It's not going to work. Verse 17. So he died according to the word of the Lord, which Elijah has spoken. Why? Because God always does what God says. Always. And Jehoram reigned in his stead in the second year of Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, because he had no son. Now the rest of the acts of Ahaziah, which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? And the answer is, of course they are. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Finish this one. This will take you back to TV history. It's not nice to fool. Okay. What was the commercial where that saying was made popular? What was it for? Yeah, which one? Not parquet. Not. Nope. Chiffon.
Chiffon. That doesn't even happen anymore.
I know. Well, someone fooled Mother Nature, I guess. But.
They had to pay for that.
Anyway, they tried to fool God. It's not nice to fool God.
Amen.
And he paid the consequence. No, you can't. You can't do it. It just doesn't work. Now, what do we learn from this? A couple of things. Sometimes the judgments of God are immediate. Go into the New Testament, Acts chapter, I forgot to look the reference, Ananias and Sapphira, chapter 4. Ananias and Sapphira sold a piece of property. They lied about how much they gave to the apostles. They didn't have to do that. They boast. We gave everything. Poof. Ananias is dead. They tell Sapphira about it. She lies with them. Poof, she's dead. I mean, it was quick. I think God was making a statement here. Don't mess with me. Sometimes the judgments of God are immediate. Therefore, we need to live righteously. Because if we step out of line, we're putting ourselves in the place of judgment. Simple as that. Not eternal, but temporal. When God spoke originally to Adam and Eve, in the day you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. Literally, the Hebrew text says, dying, you shall die two deaths. One immediate, spiritual. The other, physical. That happened over. It took 900 years for Adam to die. But sometimes it's immediate. Now, so you need to live righteously. But the problem is, we all fail from time to time. And when that happens, repentance needs to take place immediately. We can't presume on God just to say, oh, well, yes, he is a gracious God and a merciful God. And he gave the church of Thyatira space to repent. But how long? We don't know. Need to keep short accounts on sin. Ahaziah didn't do that. Sometimes the judgments of God are delayed. It took a little bit of time here. We don't know exactly how long it was, but at least there was a couple of days in between that, probably. And sometimes when sin occurs and repentance takes place, we can live a long period of time in righteousness because the grace of God is that good. As with Noah, or as with Adam, 900 and some odd years. But you can't avert the consequence of sin. The wages of sin is, and one of these days, all of us, unless Jesus comes in the rapture first, we're all going to die. But isn't it great that we have eternal life, that when we die, we're with him? Isn't it wonderful that he's merciful to give us this time to enjoy life here? Number three, whenever anyone thinks they can make or they can manipulate God to accomplish their purpose, personal desires, as Ahaziah did. You get over here. You pray for me. You heal me. You tell God to change his sentence, or I will make life rough for you. I think that's probably what he was going to do. How'd that work out? They are in for a sad end. Do we manipulate God with our prayers? God, here's a problem here. You need to take care of it. That sounds manipulative to me. God, you are a gracious and merciful God. I'm not going to be like the captain of the first and second 50s, tell you what to do. I'm going to be like the third one and humbly bow myself before you. Say, you are a merciful and gracious God. Please do these things on my behalf and for your glory. And if it be not your will, give me the grace to accept it. That's what we learn from Ahaziah. Father, we thank you tonight for lessons to be learned. Help us, Lord, to keep short accounts on sin, that we might live righteously and soberly in these days that are given to us by your grace and mercy. And then we look forward to the day when we will stand with you in glory. What a day that will be. Lord, we praise you for your goodness. We praise you for your justice. Thank you for your love and mercy. Go with us tonight as we travel to our homes, refresh our bodies with a good night's rest, that should the day dawn tomorrow, we might be about the business of God with joy and with vigor and vitality, that as we take the name of Jesus with us, people will see you and glorify you. We ask this in our Savior's name. Amen. Have a good week.